television nerds. My name is Anthony Marco, and welcome to TV ABCs, where we have conversations about Canadian television before cameras, before cuts, before channels, and explore how the people behind your favorite shows are being created. This week, TVA's Greg David talks to Tamsin McDonough. Tamsin McDonough continues her series' regular role in season 2 of the hit sci-fi adventure series Killjoys, currently airing on Space in Canada and Sci-Fi in the U.S. Tamsin provides the voice of Lucy, a small artificially intelligent spaceship owned by Dutch and used as interplanetary transportation, as well as a working and living space for the Killjoys team. McDonough was born in Vancouver and began her formal acting career at Simon Fraser University. Her acting bug fed on student films as well as shorts and indie projects. Tamsin has appeared in various film and television projects, including The Incredible Hulk, Murdoch Mysteries, The John Doerr Show, Motive, Lost Girl, and The Bridge. She is passionate about writing and has recently created the comedy web series Miss Odette's Modern Handbook to Manners, in which she stars. We'll hear about all of that and more in Greg's conversation with Tamsin McDonough.
Before we talk about some of your past roles and kind of what brought you into this whole Canadian TV and acting industry in the first place, obviously let's talk about Killjoys.
Yes.
They talk about Lucy as the unofficial fourth Killjoy.
She considers herself to be quite official.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So she's she considers herself.
Oh yeah.
If someone were to ask her that, so let's go back and talk about how you got the role. Was it previously because you knew your relationship with Lost Girl?
It actually did have to do with Lost Girl.
Okay.
This is all what I've been told. So yeah. You know, I'm sure things get lost in translation or whatever. But basically, what I was told, I was in Vancouver at the time.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you've been requested because of Lost Girl, and they loved your character in Lost Girl, and they feel that it could really transition into something they're looking at now. Okay, what is it? It's a spaceship. Okay. From snarky receptionist to spaceship. I'm an actor. This is gold.
Right.
So popped in, did a bunch of callbacks after that, and they just said, yeah, we love the snark.
So it wasn't a case of you had to audition. They had
They had you in mind, though. Yes. Yeah.
That must be cool.
That was really cool. I mean, I think they did a bunch of auditions out here, and I don't know if they had, you know, me in mind for that. But I think that this very sassy, smart-ass kind of character, mm-hmm. and it just seemed to translate. Sort of, they already had. I think they had it in mind, but again, I don't.
Right.
Specifically, no. So yeah, I was just told it was because of Lost Girl. So
now you said before we started recording that you were doing some Killjoys work. It was yesterday, you said, right?
Yes.
So, and that kind of leads into a question that I had later on, but we'll talk about it now. So you didn't go in and spend a couple of days recording. This has been an ongoing thing.
Yeah. As they, generally speaking, when I get into the studio, it's pretty finished, or it's getting close to be finished. So I get to see, you know, some of the scenes and so on that have been shot, and it's you know, depending on where Lucy gets inserted in. So it's mostly done. So it's as things are being edited together, then they'll bring me in, splash that in, and sometimes then I need to go back in again, and they're saying, you know, we've done a bit more of an edit now, we've now put in the special effects, we need a few more lines. And so they'll just sort of keep massaging it, mm-hmm. and sort of working with the character, because she's, in my mind, I think it's such a wonderful tool for them, and I think it has helped in that, oh geez, there's a gap in something here, let's get Lucy to do it, so we don't need to go back in, shoot everything. You can just get Lucy to do this little bit of exposition.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you're very much the post. You're the post process.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's all written into the script.
Yep.
But it does change quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, every time. You know, and you'll, you know, obviously there on set, the poor first AD is doing all my lines if I don't happen to be there.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, so they are responding, and we are having this back and forth, and that's why you'll see them, you know, pause or whatever for the first AD to talk. But they do often change things and add things, and sometimes I'll even see, because they'll have a placeholder there, and it's totally different lines than what
we're,
yeah.
So this is obviously a very different role, because you're not on the set, you're not interacting with Hannah and Aaron and Luke. So is that kind of weird? Like, was there a little bit of a disconnect from the very beginning? Because you're not interacting with somebody in a scene.
Yeah, at the beginning, the first season, yes.
Okay.
Because I was cast after everything had been shot. So there wasn't even actually any opportunity to go and meet everybody.
Right. Couldn't even go to a staff barbecue or wrap
exactly,
party or anything.
Yeah. I was brought in from Vancouver way after that.
Yeah.
So I ended up meeting Aaron when we did Fan Expo together last year. So I was like, hi, nice to meet you. My character has a big crush on your character, you know. It was really fun, so.
That's really fascinating.
Yeah, it was really neat. So, and he's just so warm, and you know, since then I've been on set a bunch of times, so everyone. Talk about just a great group of people.
Yeah.
You know, cast and crew are just really fantastic. And, you know, they always say, oh, it's like a family. This really is.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. Everyone works together to create something you really enjoy. So it's... So then that has changed for me going in the second season. I get more of a connection now.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So you alluded to it already, but Lucy, and you know, has an affinity. I guess we can't really say feelings because she...
She has feelings.
Okay, so she has feelings for Johnny. But she, and she has attitude and everything. Do you know, have you kind of come up with a backstory about why she has these feelings for Johnny? Or has that been told to you?
It's you get ideas from people. You know, Michelle is so clever.
Yeah.
And then each of the writers who, because it's different writers often, you have a great bunch of writers who come in and write the entire season.
Right.
And they all have ideas about what Lucy is too, which is really cool to sort of get this layering effect of everybody's ideas, and she rounds out constantly.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think that it's mostly that John gets her.
Okay.
He understands her, and he's crazy about her. You know, the prettiest ship I've ever seen.
Right.
You know? I mean, how can you not have a crush on somebody who likes you?
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, but I think a big part is that he gets her, he knows how to talk to her, he knows what she needs. And she's a loyal ship, you know. I think that's a big thing, is that he's loyal to her, she's loyal right back. Yeah.
And now, when it comes to your delivery, I mean, obviously you can't deliver the lines like a human. There needs to be a little bit of mechanical delivery to it.
Yeah.
And you have to back off on the total sarcasm. Although, in this week's episode, I forget what Lucy's line is in the...
you've seen the...
Yeah, I just watched Shaft, and she says something like... Johnny says, I wish you'd told me that before, and she said, actually, John, I'm telling you now, type of thing.
Right.
So can you kind of talk about that? Because you can't just speak in your normal speaking voice with all kinds of emotion, can you? Or are they messing with that as well, with the dials and stuff?
It is me, you know, yes, the techs are unbelievable.
Yeah.
The post supervisors are lovely, lovely. So they are doing some really amazing work with all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do go in, you know, I have a certain posture that kind of helps, and a certain kind of, you know, I sort of, I'm doing motions
right.
for a voice interview.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
but basically...
You kind of stiffen up.
I stiffen up. I start to sort of, it becomes a quicker motions. And so when I'm sitting and talking, and then the tech will go, okay, great. And then... Okay. You sort of soften up again. You become this, you know, soft, loose person again. so it is about trying to sort of get into the mind of somebody who's completely logic-based.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, as much as everyone else sees her as a technological instrument, she sees her that way, herself that way, but she doesn't.
Right.
You know, she's been given AI.
Mm-hmm.
And so she considers herself... you know, a personality and you know, a character and all these kinds of things and all everything she has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't consider herself just a ship. You know, she's met other ships, you know. those are ships. She's Lucy.
Right.
You know.
Ships passing in the night.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, that's just a ship.
So
yeah.
What do you think the backstory is when it comes to Johnny and Lucy? Like, there is, like, how they met, I guess, for lack of a better term. Have you come up with an idea?
Well, there's been little bits dropped here and there that I've been told. And that basically, so Dutch is my owner,
owner. Right, right.
And I believe, and things, of course, always change as seasons morph and so on, but I believe up till now, it's Johnny tried to steal Lucy.
Okay.
Saw her and blah, blah, blah. And so... I think that probably when, in my mind, when he was stealing her, he was seducing her a little bit, you know, because you got to sort of pet the beast before you take the beast. So I have a feeling that, you know, he was doing a little flirting, and, mm-hmm. and that probably set the stage for her, A, liking him because he does get her and he knows the tech, but also that he really likes her as well. Like, it is a mutual thing, even though my feelings or Lucy's feelings are going to be quite different than John's feelings toward a bunch of metal.
And then going back to talking about going in and seeing footage, because you're kind of in the post, in the post-production side of things. So what can you tell us about have you worked the season finale yet? Or are you leading into the season finale?
No, I did episode 8 yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds like.
And go ahead, tell us all about it.
Oh, totally, yeah. So,
it's fascinating how, you know, particularly, you know, any television show, but sci-fi in particular, stories, you know, things, it's all kept quiet.
Yeah.
But you must have fans, you know, contacting you, you know, on social media or maybe even in person, someone like Fan Expo and wanting to quiz you about stuff.
Oh, yeah. I really like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely, you know, my geek side is definitely, you know, blossoming.
Right.
It was always there.
Okay.
It's just now sort of given a bit more free range. I just love all this, you know, and people asking me very specific, pointed questions, you know, what's going on with this, technological questions. I'm like, I have no idea on the
right.
tech side.
Right, right.
But yeah, I mean, they, because it's, to me, sci-fi is so much about imagination. You know, Michelle created this world, mm-hmm. and then you can go wherever you want with this world, and you can decide, each person can decide whatever, and that's where I think that, you know, Star Wars and Ghostbusters and Star Trek and all these things, that it's only limited by your imagination.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it's limited by their imaginations, and so they get these ideas, and, you know, sometimes I can talk about it, and mm-hmm. sometimes I can't, mm-hmm. but I love chit-chatting with them and sort of getting to figure out where they're going, and it helps, it actually helps me figure out Lucy a little bit, too, because they offer questions like, oh, yeah, things that make you go,
Well, and genre is so unique that way, sci-fi in particular, you know, it's so different from, a Murdoch Mysteries or The Bridge or Motive or whatever, right? You know, you've kind of got that built-in audience that already has that imagination, like you said, and are open to everything.
Yes.
And pay attention to all those little details and ask those very specific questions.
Wow, they pay attention to details, too. Yeah. They really do. And it's amazing because I'm not a sophisticated viewer.
Yeah.
I'm somebody who just likes to sit back and kind of let it wash
over
me.
Take your brain out.
Totally take my brain out.
Yeah.
And so now live tweeting, I'm sitting forward. I'm watching because, I'm seeing what they're seeing a little bit more, mm-hmm. the details. And also I know I'm going to get asked about those details now, so I better know.
Right, right.
When before I would just let it,
So what's it been like to go onto the set of the show and walk into the Lucy ship? I'm assuming that you've done that.
Yeah.
Is it kind of weird?
It was weird, but not because I'd seen it so visually before.
Yeah.
But it was really cute because all three of Hannah, Luke, and Aaron, I got on set and they were, oh yeah, so have you seen the ship yet? I'm like, I'm just gonna go there now. And then another one passed by. Have you seen the ship yet? I'm just on my way. Like, they were so excited. You know, I was obviously very excited, but they were very excited for me to see the ship. So so it was really fun. You know, so I'm taking pictures of all the screens and everything.
Yeah, the green screens that are in there. Yeah.
You gotta check all that. Well, actually, they've got a lot of, it's all video play.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Like, all the stuff that's on there, that's all playing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's very sophisticated what they've done. It's pretty incredible. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's neat.
And that just helps, you know, whether you're, you know, that just helps with the performance, right? Because you can picture it in your head.
You don't have to picture it. It's right there.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the thing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not green screen.
Yeah.
Like, they've done this wonderful job. The tech people on that are, special effects are ridiculous.
So when you're recording, where do you go? Are you going off-site to a studio? You're not doing it from...
Right there.
Okay, so you're not doing it from home or anything like that. You're going into a professional studio and doing it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you're working with one person that's feeding you the lines back and forth while you're working, or how does that work?
No, it's basically a script.
Yeah.
And We watch on screen where Lucy's lines get popped in, and so I watch, and it's just basically a bar that goes across and swipes, and then when that bar hits the boop, and I say my line. And so I'm basically responding to John and Davin and Dutch on screen. I'm doing my lines with them. Yeah. It's really great.
It's like you're doing it through Skype or something.
Totally.
Through satellite, right?
Totally. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I get the full effect. And, you know, it's darker in there. And it's a huge screen. It's the size of this wall. And so you feel like you're there.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty neat.
So, now, we're just going to take a quick break from talking about kind of the art that we're talking about, because when Diane and Anthony and I record our podcast, we're usually recording at night. Diane's out in Vancouver, and Anthony's in Hamilton, and I'm here in Toronto, and so we're on Vancouver time, so we're recording at 10 o'clock at night, and so we're usually drinking, well, we're always drinking some kind of an adult beverage to kind of wind down the day. So we're talking right now about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Neither of us are drinking an alcoholic beverage. We're having a water and a lemonade.
Yeah.
But if you were, say tonight or tomorrow or maybe on the weekend, is there an adult beverage that you like to enjoy when you're relaxing at night?
I really love a great salt ringed margarita.
Mm.
Yeah. Patron.
Okay.
It's tequila for me has to be a good one. The other ones, I don't care. Vodka can be terrible.
Okay.
And I'll still drink it. Yeah. But tequila, it has to be a really good one, and then I love it. And then just great fresh squeezed lime, and away we go.
Do you make your own?
Sometimes. I'm more of a social get-out, drink kind of person. Otherwise, it's just dancing in my living room by myself, and that's never pretty.
Is there a place in Toronto that you go that where they make a really good one?
There's lots. It's pretty much just about me being really picky and saying, do you have this?
Right.
Do you have this?
Right.
Do you have this? Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if they have them, otherwise, you know, vodka soda, splash of cranberry, so it's pink.
The weird thing that I'm kind of into this summer are ciders and spiked root beer. So the root beer has vodka
about
in
this
it.
Spiked root beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
Is it good?
It's really good.
Damn, don't tell me this.
Like, you're drinking it, and it's just like drinking root beer. And, like, I guess, you know, throw on a scoop of vanilla ice cream, and you've got an adult root beer float.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's get back to the career. So what do you look for in a role? You know, going through your IMDb page or your page on your own website, which we're going to talk about, you have a very varied, you know, between film and acting and TV shows and some theater as well. So what do you look for in a role?
Characters.
Yeah.
I really enjoy doing the character work. I like to switch up everything as much as possible. Like somebody said to me, you know, who's your perfect career? It would be like a Woody Harrelson or an Elizabeth Banks, who are not necessarily holding down an entire film.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I focus on. I focus on what kind of project is it? Who's this character? And what can I do with this character? And where can we go? You know, so it's again, like their careers are indies, big parts in indies, small parts on big things, sci-fi, comedy, action. Like they do, both those actors kind of just do the gamut. And working with cool, interesting people, you know, who just have these imaginations and don't take themselves seriously, just want to do something really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it really is, I like to call myself a character actor. I hope I'm heading in that direction, but that's really what I'm looking for, is somebody who's just has a lot to them.
Okay.
You can kind of jump in and really get to work.
And you were in an episode of Mayday.
Yes.
Which is crazy. Like, that show just keeps on going.
It just keeps going.
So what was the experience of working on that show? Because I think that's, like, the top-rated show on Discovery. If not, very near the top.
Wow.
So what was that experience like?
That was good. That was less, I'm going to say less character.
Yeah.
But it was such a good experience.
Yeah.
Basically, it was all tech. It was all such and such is happening. We need to dive this from such and such degrees, and you know, a bunch always gets cut out. And so, but I had these huge chunks of tech that I had to talk about and fast, like just as fast as I could say these things. George D'Amato was the director, and he was just amazing and just sort of helped to, okay, this is what you do every day. Don't worry, don't, you know, because you can kind of get a little overwhelmed with so many terms and, you know, thinking about like Grey's Anatomy, the terms that these guys are doing. You know? So it was really good practice for something like that. And just very high stress because they're trying to create this high stress atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So not being stressed in a high stress atmosphere. So it was really neat. Yeah.
Oh, and a question that I forgot to ask when we were talking about Killjoys is because you ordered a water instead of a coffee. So talk about the hazards of doing voice work and that you need to worry about your throat, right?
Yeah. It's something, you know, I've done a few commercials for voice here and there. Yeah. And, you know, but this Killjoys is obviously, you know, by far the biggest and most interesting voice bit I've done. So there's you know, you all of a sudden thrown into it, and you've got to go learn about all this stuff and figure out, you know, how to keep your voice crisp and sharp, and, you know, you end up having little, not traditions, but little...
Little routines
that you do. You know, the first thing I do when I get into the studio is I make a hot water. It doesn't matter what kind of weather it is outside. It's very warm to be drinking hot water with a bunch of honey in it. And I bring some cut up green apples, and I don't drink any milk or milk products before I head in there. And these are just things you end up learning. So, you know, supposedly the apples cut any of the saliva, for lack of a better word,
in
your mouth, and just keeps you crisp.
Yeah.
It really crisps up your voice. The honey just keeps your throat really soothed and happy.
Okay.
Water, just because, you know, you're flapping your gums.
Yeah.
And the milk is to keep it from getting gummy, because otherwise you end up coating your throat with this milk. So it was just, whew, whole new world, you know. And there's incredible actors who they really honed in on this and focused on this. I'm going to be working with Kristen Potenza, who does a lot of voice work and regular work as well, but a lot of voice work on his team called Switchboard. And I'm doing some animation coaching with him, and it's a lot of that kind of stuff too. Okay, so make sure you're doing this, and you're not, you know, there's no putting hands in pockets, and, you know, the hands have to be free, and so it's really interesting.
It's true, you know, using your, people aren't seeing it, but you're using your body to emote too, right?
Yeah, and that's why with Killjoys, that's the only one where I basically just sat, and I basically sit up higher and more rigid in my seat. Meanwhile, another character, like working with Kristen on these animation characters, I'm bouncing around. You've just got to keep your voice directed at the mic, but otherwise your whole body is bouncing around.
Are you tired by the end of a session?
Depending on the character.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's an energetic character, for sure.
Yeah.
Lucy, not so much, but there is such a sense of control with her because she's tech.
Mm-hmm.
That it's definitely I do a little stretch after, you know, just to sort of loosen everything up again, because I've been so kind of rigid. Yeah. So I just do a little stretch.
I hope the fans realize what you're putting your body through to play this role.
No, it's I'm making it sound bigger than it is, but no, it's
the
it's,
tension in the shoulders and the neck.
Yeah, you know, I gotta have a Diet Coke after I mean, it's not that. It's just more a, you know, a little quick shakeout, and you're like, okay.
Now, before we started recording, we were talking briefly about The Bridge, and that was a show that was very, very different than CTV had, a cop drama. So what was the experience of working on that show for a season?
Worked with John Fawcett, and he is brilliant, and he's dedicated and fun and interesting and basically kind of a dream director to work with. She was a pretty hardcore character. Crackhead Kathy.
Yes.
Even though she will tell you she didn't actually do crack, she did heroin. But they liked the alliteration of Crackhead Kathy. Yeah. So poor girl.
And the makeup was. Can you tell? Do you mind telling a story about how good the makeup was?
Oh my goodness.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
We were shooting next to a restaurant, you know, a bit more down and out kind of area. They wanted it to look really. This is where Crackhead Kathy would be hanging out. So we were told, you can use the washroom of such and such restaurant.
Yeah.
So I meandered in, and immediately the bartender looked at me and kind of, I requested the bathroom, and she kind of, and beetled off, ran off. And I was just kind of looking around like, all right, what just happened here? big burly manager comes flying back in. Hi, we don't serve your type. And I realized I was in hooker gear. And not just hooker gear, I had literally dirt in my hair. Because the makeup artist was brilliant. She just kept saying, are you okay with doing it? I'm like, go, do it. She's like, what about a little dirt? And I said, go outside, pick up a handful of dirt, put it in my hair. She did. And she has dirt on her. And just grimy, nasty. So this poor manager, yeah, so I had to pull out my sound pack and go, sorry, I'm actually working on the set. Yeah, so sort of insult compliment that, you know, I embodied this role so well.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So.
In prepping for this interview, of course, you use IMDb, but also you have your own website.
Yeah.
It's an extensive website.
Oh.
I mean, you've got the
you've
got the password protected my writings.
Oh, yeah.
You've
got
your photography. You've got your modeling photography, but then you've also got your own photography that I'm assuming that you do too, right?
I do a little bit. It became something that I end up just kind of doing with friends.
Okay.
It was more just to fill up the website because it was pretty lean. And it was also, it's fun to put the acting stuff. So there's lots of acting stuff.
Yeah.
But it was like, aw, there's got to be more stuff. So it was, you know, and my siblings are these very creative, clever people. So they're like, all right, find some stuff. And so they helped me kind of lay it out.
Okay.
But yeah, it's something I just have fun with. I don't even have a digital camera. It's still all film. And, you know, manual focus.
That's okay. That seems to be coming back.
That would be nice. I would like that.
Yeah, everybody with those old cameras, hold on to them.
Yeah, I'll hang on to them.
Because they still make the film, so.
Yeah, they do. And so, I, you know, sometimes somebody will be like, oh, you want to do something today? Sure. Do you want to do some pictures? Okay. And we'll just go and just make some hair, borrow some clothes, and yeah, so that can be fun. But I'm not that good.
And you're originally from Vancouver.
Yes.
So how did you, and you got your education, your acting education out in Vancouver. So what? Was
all
it
over.
All over the place.
Yeah.
So where, what was it? Was there a point in your life where you decided that, you know, obviously there was a point in your life and you decided that acting was going to be, so when was that?
That was pretty much high school.
Okay.
I can't even remember what drove me. I just remember grade 9, there was a drama class opened and I was one of those shy, nerdy, picked on kids, the typical, you know. And what possessed me to go and do something where I'd be, you know, center and front and have to talk to people, I have no idea.
Right.
I have no idea.
Right.
But for some reason, I did. And that's what, and so, you know, I continued through high school doing as many productions as I could, got out of it. And, you know, my family's very educated and really smart people. And so it was just sort of, no, you go to university and SFU. And, again, I fell into it again there and just started taking the drama there. And then it was one of those where, well, I have a backup. Now I can go and play. And so and then I went to New York for 6 months, and that's really where I started my training outside of schools.
Mm-hmm.
Started training in New York, and then it was just, I'm going to have to try this properly.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting, you know, you're talking about being a shy kid in high school and you know, going into acting. It's because you're taking on another character, right? It's not you.
Yeah, I think that's really what it is.
So it's easy to play somebody else and be outgoing on stage because it's not you doing it, right?
Yeah, I think you're dead on.
Yeah. What was the experience like in New York City? I mean, I can't think of any, you know, that if I guess if you're going to make it or break it, it's going to be there, right?
Oh my gosh, I would live in New York City again in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I absolutely, there's drag marks where my nails, when they dragged me out of there. Because I was still in university, I was actually just doing it by correspondence. And I was supposed to go out there for 3 weeks, 2 weeks, I think.
Okay.
And I was just, you cannot make me leave this city. I just loved it. And so it was, it was very intense. It was, you know, the classes, you know, it's very serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people took this very seriously. But not in a precious kind of way. It was, this is something you need to learn how to do. This is a craft. And, you know, like any athlete, you need to practice. You need to hone your skills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was about. So it was very cool people to get to know.
Are you still doing that now? Do you still feel like you still take classes at this point? Or have you pretty much got a, feel like you've got a handle on
no.
it and now it's the roles that are keeping you, keeping the muscles toned?
The roles definitely, well, when I'm doing something, I'm not worried about taking class because that's, you're in
you're
it.
You're doing it.
You don't need to, yeah. But no, I mean, I think, again, like any athlete or like any business of any kind, you should always just be honing and trying new things. And to me, any actor who thinks they've learned everything is delusional.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's even just practice, you know, just making sure that muscle keeps stretched and warm.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that you have an audition the next day, mm-hmm. bam, you mm-hmm. can go in and you've got all the tools with which to, you know, and I don't mean to make it sound like it's bigger than it is, but
right.
it's just like any other skill. You need to be practicing, you need to be on it, you know, so.
And how have you found getting roles here in Toronto as opposed to Vancouver or any other city?
It's, Canada is great.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much being shot here, and, you know, the government's coming through with some great tax incentives and so on. So it's, and so there's been a lot more really amazing shows, and so much more sci-fi,
mm-hmm.
which I love, you know. So, like, Winona Earp and 12 Monkeys and all these amazing shows are shooting in Canada now. And, yeah, so it's been great, and it's such a nice range. It's such
right.
a great range. So for somebody who likes to consider herself a character actor, it's really great. Yeah.
Talk about creating your own characters. It's one thing to be playing characters that other people are writing, but you've got that itch, obviously, to write
yeah.
your own characters as well. So talk about what you've done so far with regard to that and why it's important to you to do it.
It's a big part of why it's important, I think, is because the wheel, the mouse on the wheel in the head just starts running
yeah.
if you don't keep it busy.
Yeah.
So I like to keep that wheel running at a nice pace
mm-hmm.
instead of losing its little freaking mind. and I find, for me and probably a lot of actors, if you're not doing something creative, you're just sort of atrophying a little bit or losing it,
right.
you know, because for me, acting becomes a little bit of a drug.
Okay.
And then I get that high when I'm on set,
yeah.
you know, in classes and doing all those things, and then you come down off of that. And so I found that writing keeps that high going, and it keeps it more at a dull ebb,
mm-hmm.
but it's just, it keeps it always going. And it has, I find the writing does really help with me figuring out a character from a script as
okay.
well.
Okay.
Ah, I see what the writer's doing here. Oh, okay, I think I know where they're trying to go with this. I see the little hints of blah, blah, blah that I would have slid in, you know. So, yeah, it's really helped with that. And it is fun to sort of have that little bit of sort of more control.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right word? Control? Where I can create what I want.
Right.
You know, so... yeah, it's fun using the imagination again.
What type of writer are you? Do you need to be in a quiet place? Is sitting in a coffee shop?
No.
Okay,
I'm too,
how does it work for you?
Yeah, I'm too squirrel. Yeah, I get distracted very easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you notice, I'm sort of looking around all over the place, got my hands playing with my hair. I'm just very kind of, oh, what's going on?
Right.
So, no, I need to be locked down. I can't have the TV on. I can't even have music on.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I get distracted so easily. I'll just, oh, it's a song, and I'll get up and start dancing around. It's not pretty, yeah.
So what are you, is there something that you can talk about that you're writing right now?
I wrote a web series that
yeah.
we actually, Warren Sonoda directed for us.
Okay.
And produced and co-starred with a couple of friends. And so it's basically, it's a very silly kind of mockumentary style, sort of Seinfeld almost. And it's about modern manners. Sort of just the funny things that are around us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a comedy, it's dry, but it is also supposed to be an instructional kind of video.
Okay.
So the first one is about hugging.
All right.
And all the proper way to do hugs.
Oh.
Because there's a lot of hugs that are really tricky out there. And people don't, until they start actually thinking about
yeah.
it, it's something that we deal with every day.
Yes.
And so it's like that Seinfeld where you get this kernel of truth,
mm-hmm.
and then of course as a comedy you take it to
right.
the nth degree.
But right.
there is this kernel of truth and that hugs are tricky.
They are tricky.
Yeah.
And like, which, if you're going, like, even just doing, physically doing it, which angle do you go
what
in?
What angle do you go on?
Because I've hit people with my shoulder.
Totally. Sometimes you go both underneath.
Too low, yeah, and that feels weird. Yeah, underneath. Yeah, guys underneath on a girl doesn't feel right.
But that's
you need
happened.
To do.
Yeah, it's got to be the diagonal, and we talk about the diagonal, the basic. There's the basic hub.
It's so true.
It's so true. So that's what this series is about. So you know, the next one, I think will be sidewalk etiquette. Everyone goes crazy on sidewalks.
Yes.
Like, why is this person blocking? You know, these...
Where they pull up short.
They pull up short.
And...
Bam! And you smack into the back
See,
of
now
them.
You need to talk about Pokemon Go. Now that Pokemon Go is a thing,
goodness.
That adds... There was a guy on the streetcar doing it in front of me, and I was watching him, and I'm thinking, I've been hearing about people, like, walking into stuff because they're so busy looking at their phone.
I keep thinking about that.
Yeah.
The more I'm reading about this, I'm thinking, I'm texting, and I'll bat into stuff constantly.
Yeah.
Trip. I've smashed into bicycles. I don't text while I'm walking anymore. If I was playing Pokemon, I'd be screwed. I'd be dead. Really. Spade is spade.
So, writing this web series, not only is it kind of, becoming a way for people to get a television series made because, you've already kind of got that product as a web series to shop around. But you're also showing a side that people don't necessarily see of you all the time. Lucy doesn't get to be goofy
Ridiculous.
And mockumentary style, right? So, but is that, reading your bio, that's a love of yours, are mockumentaries, right?
Yes. Yeah, I love mockumentaries.
And you were on the John Doerr show. You were on the John Doerr show as well, but that was a while ago. So is comedy kind of your first love?
Comedy, writing comedy, for sure.
Okay.
It seems to be something that I just end up veering to all the time. I'm also writing historical drama that's had a lot of interest.
Okay.
So it's not something I can really talk about.
Okay.
But that I love history as well. So that became a real love as I got into it. The main person that I'm talking about looks pretty much identical to me.
Interesting.
So, again, spade is spade. I'm writing things for myself.
Right.
Let's be, come on.
Right.
I'm an actor. We got an ego.
Yeah.
So, I'm not writing things for other people. I'm writing, and whether I'm a small part, a big part, whatever, I'm writing something for me. And so I ran across this character, and she's kind of my doppelganger. Yeah, and then the more I read about her and sort of the history surrounding her,
okay.
I just fell into it, and it's become quite a beast.
Well, you can talk about that, but talk about, are there some historical dramas that you love? Like, for me...
Rome.
Okay.
Rome.
Yeah. Yeah, Rome was great.
Huge.
I love Vikings.
Vikings
love Deadwood.
Is great.
I love...
Yeah, because I do really enjoy this pairing of... Because we know that you take the history and then you have to bend it a little to work into the format of TV or movies or whatever it is. And so I love the imagination and history, and putting these two together is just incredible for me. So I feel like I'm learning something while I'm being entertained.
There you go.
Yeah.
And what's so cool about the history is that, it often, literally, like they say, it makes some of the best stories. Because some of the coincidences, you're like, what? How has this not been covered before? It's right there for people to do.
It's some of the stuff that I'm learning about this character and the history around her. It's like, I can't write this stuff.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And that the characters that are coming up, I couldn't have written it better myself.
So, another part of the podcast is kind of where we break down and discuss shows that we watched growing up. And for me, it was Sesame Street, The Polka Dot Door, and then in the 80s, it was Magnum P.I. and The A-Team. And now you said beforehand that you didn't watch a lot of TV growing up. So why was that? You just literally didn't have a TV in the house?
We had a TV, but my parents are, again, they're very clever, creative people.
Okay.
And they just didn't like that it was a sit-down, which is exactly what I do now. Sit down and let it wash over you.
They must be thrilled.
Oh, yeah. I'm making up for lost time here. Yeah, they're absolutely thrilled. And so there was a few channels that we had. We had the basic cable.
Yeah.
And so it was a matter of, there's five of us kids. So we had 1 hour of TV a day, and we all had to watch the same hour. It wasn't I got to go in from 5 to 6, and so, no, it had to be the same hour. So, and if there was a hockey game on, all bets were off. My dad was watching his hockey.
Right.
Too bad.
Right.
Yeah. So we ended up we made our own games, we made our own entertainment, we made our own everything.
So what was the team, when your dad's watching hockey, What team is he watching? Who is he cheering for?
Canucks.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Canucks.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, so are you a Canucks fan? And then the Lions, BC Lions came in.
Okay, so are you a fan of both of those teams because of that?
I admit I have slid over to Toronto for hockey, but my Lions. I met a few of the Lions when I was a kid because my dad liked to take us to games.
Yeah.
And they were just the nicest, most lovely people. So I will always be a Lions fan just because these were really great players and really kind to their people and these little nerdy kids that came up to them.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah. Canucks, I don't know what happened.
Okay.
They kind of slid away from the Canucks. Yeah. And yeah, Maple Leafs now. Yeah. But, you know.
So if you didn't watch a lot of TV when you were a kid, what about now? Or do you find time to watch TV now? Oh, so what are you watching?
Everything.
You're watching everything.
Everything I can possibly. I really, this is terrible, and I shouldn't admit this, but I really enjoy TV. I love stories. Like, I
so
read
sitcom,
a lot as
drama,
well. Everything.
Documentary, doesn't matter.
Documentary, not as much.
Okay.
It's, I don't know why, but I like the imagination
okay. Of
things. Like, and again, that's why historical drama I really enjoy, because it's got that slight, let's put bunny ears on documentary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I don't like documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just like the format of TV, and that, you know, there's a crescendo and there's characters that are growing and moving and, you know, these kinds of things. I like the format, I think. Yeah, so I watch a bit of everything.
What's on your PVR right now?
I just moved, so I haven't figured out the PVR.
Okay.
Although Killjoys and Dark Matter are on there.
Okay.
Yep. What am I watching? It was a big one for me. Justified was a big
one. Oh, man.
That's one of my favorites of all time. Yeah. Adventures of New Christine. Old Christine.
Old Christine.
That's probably my favorite sitcom of all.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Love that.
And are you watching Veep?
I have the first season. I haven't started it
yet.
Oh, and I've got Mr. Robot on the go right now.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm not allowed to watch. I have Unreal. My sister gave me Unreal. And I'm not allowed to watch it yet because a couple friends want to watch it. So they're like, you can't put it on. Damn it. So I'm dying to watch Unreal.
Isn't that hilarious how there are certain shows where people have to watch them together and that you can't watch ahead without the other person because you feel betrayed?
Totally. Totally.
You almost feel like you've been cheated on.
Oh, totally. I've watched Deadpool a bunch of times. It's also one of my favorite movies now of all time.
Okay.
And I'm not allowed to watch it again because I have friends who haven't seen it. And of course, as soon as the DVD came out, I was like, give me one! I was desperate for it. And I wanted to watch it again. She's like, no, let me at least have some newness with you. I'm like, I've seen it 3 times. How new can it be?
I can recite the lines
to
you.
I can pretty much, I'm giggling ahead of time because I know a line's coming.
Right,
so,
right.
So that's probably one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last question. What is it, what have you got coming up that you can you talk about? What are you doing for the rest of the summer? You're still working on, working Lucy.
Yes, so still working Lucy.
Still got a couple episodes to go.
Yep. And working on this animation, a few animation projects, some shorts. So just working with this comedy team.
Okay.
It's kind of an exciting sort of new thing coming up. There's a few things coming down that I can't really talk about yet, but kind of excited for when those materialize.
I guess that's a necessary thing as an actor. You're always juggling.
Yes.
You've always got a bunch of things on the go, right?
Yeah, some have now started and you can get rolling on, and some, I mean, it's that's so much of the fun about TV is that it is the mystery and what's coming next, and you know, so you just, you know, kind of got to keep things quiet until then.
Well, thanks to Tamsin McDonough for sitting down with Greg David and having a conversation not only about Killjoys, but also about the rest of her career, some of the great things that she's been up to. And we hope that you enjoyed that. And we hope that you enjoy all of our conversations that we have here on TV ABCs. If you listen to the regular TVA podcast, you know that we mostly talk about the news once every couple of weeks. And then when we can, we try and fit in these longer form conversations. And we think, you know, these are the conversations that people need to hear with some of their favorite Canadian actors, producers, directors, writers, the people who are behind the scenes, the people who are in front of the cameras. This is the stuff that we hope that you want to know, the kind of longer form stuff that you don't just slam together in a 15-second little package. So hopefully you've been enjoying it. If you go to tv-eh.com and you go click on podcast at the top, you can support this podcast if you want to. You don't have to. You can always listen for free. You can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com /TV_EH. And if you do that and you feel like it's worth a buck an episode or a couple bucks a month, however you want to do it, we would appreciate anything that you could help us out with. You can find Greg at Greg_David on Twitter. You can find me at Anthony Marco, and you can find TVA at TV_EH. Well, that wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.